Hi again, everyone. Better late than never. I realize that if some of you don't know what I'm talking about this trauma concerning my marriage, I did send a general email out to everyone late last week. If for some reason somebody didn't get that and they don't know what I'm referring to, you can send me an email at mzender@martinzender.com and in the subject line put something like, "Martin, what the heck are you talking about?" Or maybe put 5 or 6 question marks, and I'll know what you're doing. I've gotten hundreds of responses, and I'm answering them one at a time. That's all I can do. I thank God for all of you, and thank you for your patience. I'll be responding to everything personally. Believe me, I'm going to get caught up with my thank you notes. I'd like to thank you for the contributions that you sent to keep this work going. I'm going to double down. It's the only way right now I can deal with my pain is to realize that I'm going to do more work than ever. I have been I have been doing nothing but laboring and praying and studying and figuring out what has been happening in my personal life for 4 months now. And it has been a necessary thing. But now it's coming to a close. It is what it is. God has done this ultimately. We can look at intermediate sources, but I don't want to do that right now. I can maybe do that some other time with you individually. But right now, it's enough to say that all is of God. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for my wife. I want you to pray for everyone who is suffering divorce, who is suffering emotional problems. You know, emotional pain is the worst kind of pain there is. Pain of the mind, turmoil in the thinking, this anguish of unrequited love, or this feeling of abandonment. It is horrible. That's the worst thing our Lord suffered on the cross. As bad as the pain was, the worst thing he had to endure was the feeling that his Father had forsaken him. His Father had not forsaken him, but we're looking at him from his human perspective, and it's very, very real to him. Listen, he felt as though his Father had forsaken him. We do not have a high priest. We do not have a Savior who is not acquainted with our infirmities. He knows what you're going through right now. There are many other people with flesh on that you can talk to who know what you're going through right now. But he knows what you've been through. He felt abandoned on the cross. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That wasn't academic. That wasn't theoretical. That wasn't just to fulfill scripture. He felt it. It was as real to him as his next labored breath. It felt like God was gone. Man, I felt that. It feels like God is gone. And you know what? God wants to hear about it. I told you how many bad words I've said, God, in my anguish. I told you how I've cried out to him, and I know you have too. You know what? God actually likes that. He likes it because at least he knows you're going to the source. You remember Job? Who afflicted Job? Well, it depends on if you want to take the absolute or the relative viewpoint. Absolutely, God afflicted Job, but relatively, it was handed over to Satan. God said to Satan, do with him what you will, just don't touch his life. So Satan did that. And Job, for the rest of the book, after his affliction, speaks to God, never speaks to Satan. Boy, that really pissed off Satan. I'm sure Satan was over there, hey, Joby, over here, it's me. I'm the one doing all these things. Job says, no. I know the one who is ultimately responsible for this. And so Job vent his complaint to God. And at the end of the book, God says, no, these other friends of yours, quote unquote, God does air quotes there, these friends of yours have not spoken of me what is right as Job has. Job did not sin with his lips that whole time. And if you read of the complaint of Job, folks, I know Paul tells us not to complain, but sometimes you just can't help it. And so do it. I only saw one Christian bumper sticker I ever liked, and it was, be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet. It's the only Christian bumper sticker I've ever seen that made sense and that I liked. God isn't finished with me yet. I'm a screw up. I'm speaking for myself. I make mistakes. I'm a screw up. I'm not perfect. I complain. I rant. And you know what? God likes it when you go to the source. So be honest with him. So the worst pain is this emotional pain, this trauma of being rejected or abandoned, unrequited love. Unrequited love is terrible. Physical beatings are easier. I think Paul would have told you the same thing. I wish he'd walk in the door right now and I could have him tell you of the agony he went through from being rejected, from the unrequited love he had for his people. The very people he's trying to help wanted to kill him, and they would beat him. The Jews beat him, and they maligned him. And in fact, at the end of his ministry, he says, "This is unbelievable, but now I believe it. I couldn't fathom before how this could happen, but now I see." He goes, "All in Asia have forsaken me." Paul was actually labeled an evildoer. I thought it was just because his message that he was persecuted, but it wasn't. You know that there were letters that were circulated back then that had Paul's signature forged on them? Can you imagine that? Somebody from Corinth or Galatia calls Paul up on their cell phone, if only. I'm not sure much that would have been a much help. I'm not sure that all this cell phone technology we have is actually helpful to hear what everybody's thinking constantly. But now I'm going to take all that back, because without it, I'd be dead. So I'm thankful for it. But imagine somebody circulating a letter that was supposedly written by you. Somebody signs your name to it, and they send it to your family members. And in this letter, you are purportedly slandering your family. You're saying all kinds of lies about them. You're saying the most outrageous things, and they start calling you, "How could you say that about me?" And you say, "What? What?" And here, this letter had gone out with your name on it. How evil is that? And yet, that is what Paul underwent. He had so many lies told about him and so many false teachings. I mean, you remember Paul says, I think in Romans chapter 6, why not? He teaches salvation by grace. You can't sin your way out of grace. And then he says, why not go out and sin so that more grace can come, as some people are reporting us to have said. So there were false accusations, false reports, all this. Paul was constantly defending himself against this stuff. And that, to me, was the worst pain for him. Demas, Paul says, my friend Demas, I'm just putting that in there, my friend, but Paul wouldn't be writing about it unless Demas was once a friend. Demas, who loved this current eon, forsook me. This is a man he knew by name, a fellow laborer, and he was forsaken by this man, and that hurt Paul more than anything. Paul says in Romans 9, I think it is, there's unintermittent pain in my heart. Might be Romans chapter 10. Read both chapters, you'll find it. Unintermittent pain in my heart, because his desire was to see his own people saved, and yet they're the ones trying to kill him. Unbelievable. It's the worst kind of pain. And Jesus suffered it, Paul suffered it, and you're suffering it. And we all suffer it. And it's part of this life. It's all going to be fixed someday. It really is. I look forward to that day. You know, it's like a bad Lucy show down here. You always watch Lucy, and everybody's always misunderstanding everybody. Ricky doesn't understand what Lucy is saying, and Fred doesn't get Ethel, and Lucy thinks Ricky's saying one thing, and Ricky's actually saying another thing, and you're just like frustrated all through the show. Nobody gets what the other person's saying, and it's finally resolved at the end of the show. At least you only had to wait a half hour for resolution on the Lucy show. We're not going to get resolution from these things that happen to us, these trials that we have between ourselves. We're not going to get resolution until the dais of Christ. It might happen in this life. I pray it does. I really do. It'd be great if everybody got everybody. Isn't that nice when it happens? It happens once in a while, and it's wonderful. It's rare. You know, like a 1933 double die penny. You don't see too many of them. You don't see too much of resolution. But that's why we really should work for it. You know what I hate more than anything? The shunning. People shun other people. That is ridiculous. Please don't be like the Amish. Please don't be like the Jews. I had a guy visit my house once. He was a Jew. He became a Christian, and his parents never talked to him again. In fact, they erected a tombstone with his name on it. That is horrible. I had another, there's another family I know. They found out their daughter was homosexual, and they shunned her. "Don't know if you're my daughter anymore." Are you kidding me? Are you an idiot? What happened to love? What happened to grace? What happened to blood? What happened to unconditional love? I love you no matter what. Oh, I love you unless you do this. Well, you know, if your God is like that, if your God loves you unconditionally until you screw up and really make him mad, then that's how you're going to act. With your own family members? My goodness, please, please, don't shun anyone. That's the most painful thing imaginable. Go to that person. These things, you can try to resolve them. I recommend it highly. If someone has something against you, call them and say, please, what is the problem? What makes me crazy is when people won't talk to you. They're so mad that you can't even open up a line of conversation so that you can reason with them. This is the worst trial of all. And boy, if that can be avoided, do what you can to avoid it. Try to resolve these things. Don't let the sun set on your anger or your vexation, Paul says. And so before the sun sets today, call somebody today who has shunned you and ask them to please begin the unshunning process. And you would love to talk to them. Shunning is so immature. It's so darn Amish. Okay? The Amish make great bread. Once in a while, they can produce a really great apple pie. But my God, their shunning techniques are horrific. Nobody can shun you like an Amish person. Or a Jew. I take that back. The Jews are pretty damn good at shunning. All right? Let's not do this to one another. Let's not even do this to our enemies, okay? Enemies don't do this. People of the world don't do this, unless you're Amish or Jewish. Let's not be that way. Let's be mature believers. Let's be saints worthy of the name. And let us try to be at peace with all humanity. That's somewhere around 1 Timothy chapter 2. Why shouldn't we be at peace with all humanity and try as much as we can to get along with all humanity? Because God is the Savior of all humanity. Oh, I still haven't elaborated on 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through verse 11. I really want to do this because there's so much meat in here about what you're going through today and what I'm going through today. So we're going to dissect this word for word tomorrow. Once again, John 18, going back around the shelf, but that's okay. This is how God wants it. I'm Martin Sender. Join me tomorrow.